Why did you want to move to Ely?
Well, you know, my husband and I had our first date in Ely, and that was many years ago. And we always said, someday we'll move to Ely. You know, that would be a great place to retire. And then my husband said, wait a second. Why do you wait till you retire to do things you want to do? Why not just live there now? And I really just couldn't argue with that. And we have three kids. And we moved when our kids were, the older two were in middle school, and the younger one was just born. And it's been a great decision.
That is Molly Olson. Molly is a high school math teacher in Ely, Minnesota, and she's also a former board member of the Ely Folk School, a place she became passionate about from the moment her family moved to Ely. She loves Ely, and she loves the Folk School.
Our kids are involved in so many things. It's a great community. I would drag the whole family to the Folk School for everything. They've been at a lot of events, but that's really fun. And in fact, coming up Friday the 8th, there's a community dance, and we'll be there again, you know, with the family to enjoy the dance. So it's just it's a good organization. Yeah.
I find it intriguing when I do these Let's Visit segments to talk to young families, younger families,
yeah,
and find out why they're moving to these. Well, Ely is quite a ways from pretty much anything, but
right,
it's so happening at the same time.
Right.
It's got its whole vibe going on.
It does. It has, you know, there's just like all these little, oh my gosh, Ely has so much stuff going on. We always talk about in Ely, it's not, oh no, there's nothing to do. It's, oh shoot, I have to choose. There's this and there's this, you know. And part of it is that we're so far away, so people have to create their own entertainment. And so that's part of it. We don't have a movie theater yet. You know, if anybody wants to come to Ely and run the state theater, everybody's going to be so excited about that. So far, nobody's here. So there's just not a lot to do other than what we create. So I think that helps create a strong community because you have to bond together. You can't just be separate and doing your own thing. You know, you kind of have to support each other and be each other's entertainment.
No kidding. And the Folk School's really become a piece of that.
Yeah, for sure. For sure. There are people who are, you know, we had a dance this fall and then we haven't had one until now, the one scheduled in February. And people have been asking, hey, when's the next Folk School dance? So I think that's something that it kind of is this event that people look forward to. And they do a Thanksgiving meal for anybody who's just, you know, in town and maybe not with family, and they also do a Christmas one. So those kinds of things, you know, that a church would also do that. But there are people who maybe don't go to a church, and so the Folk School can be a place for them together as well. So, yeah.
What did you and your husband love about it before you even had kids?
Well, the beauty of the area, and then it's just that I think this is an area where people come to be active, and it attracts a certain kind of person. My husband always says that. He says, people who come to Ely, they're just a little bit independent. They're a little bit fierce, but they're really friendly, and community is valued. And so every part of Ely that we get involved in, whether it's the school or the Nordic Ski Program or the Folk School, I am now the director of a new dance company in Ely that I just started in September. And it's just, there's so much support. And the arts are supported in Ely. I've lived in a lot of other small communities, and I've never lived in a community where the arts are supported as much as they are in Ely. So we kind of knew that. We had a sense for that. But until we really moved here and really felt that support, that's been just a wonderful part of living here.
A few years ago, Molly Olson and her husband thought it would be fun to move from Wisconsin to Ely and start a folk school. To their great surprise, when they were thinking about moving, Ely was already thinking about a folk school. Molly ended up joining the board shortly after she moved to town. She's passionate about Ely. She's passionate about folk schools. And she told me why she loves them both so much. So I was wondering if you could talk a little about the folk school model. They're popping up more and more across the country right now.
The folk school model really comes from Europe, and that's the inspiration. We have an exchange student right now from Norway, and he said, every little place has a folk school in Norway, and they teach whatever people want to know. And traditional craft and skills is very typically taught at a folk school. The Ely Folk School, really our mission has been and is to incorporate sort of the wilderness heritage and the art, history, and culture of the people of northern Minnesota. And we on the range have a really diverse group of people that settled there. So obviously Native American is a big part of the culture that has been there for many, many years. And then more recently, we have Finnish and Slavic and Scandinavian and Czech. And there's just a big variety of ethnicities that were brought there. And so every little place in America where these folk schools are popping up, I mean, they are using the culture of their area. So that's what's so cool about it. You know, you're really looking at sort of a snapshot of the history of the place.
Is it some innate human thing where we want to get in touch with these old ways of doing things?
It's partly, it's about interest, what draws them. So you see people where they're just, I mean, they just are fascinated by the different classes. And then I think there's a little bit of fear involved with some people. They feel like if we don't teach these things, the knowledge is going to be lost. And we're savers. We're savers of everything, including knowledge. And so this is one way to sort of preserve the knowledge that's there. The people who come for the pasty class, I mean, not only are pasties really delicious, the petitza, the apple strudel, those things are all delicious, but they have this sort of memory for people about, usually it's a story, I remember my grandmother making this, and they want to preserve that memory. And they're, you know, they're just worried that these skills, you know, how do you roll out the petitza so thin and spread it with all this stuff and roll it up and bake it so that it tastes so delicious? You have to learn by watching. It's really hard to do it just in a video. You have to be there seeing Mary Louise do it and feel the dough. And, you know, so the process, the hands-on part of it, that's another piece of it that I think is really important that draws people to the folk school and to the idea of traditional skills.
The number of classes I find astounding.
We work so hard. I mean, I stepped down from the board this September. You know, after 2 years, I thought, okay, that's good. I've put in my time. But, you know, the board constantly is searching for ways to attract people to the folk school. Because we want it to be successful. And in order to be successful, we found through our research, both of folk schools across the U.S. and North House as our model, that offering a wide variety of classes is your best bet. Mm-hmm. Because you're going to capture somebody's attention, and then you just really don't know what's going to be the most popular. We're starting to get an eye or an ear or knowledge of, you know, okay, these classes will typically go. But we're still in that stage where we're just, if somebody comes and says, hey, I have this knowledge and I'll teach a class in this, we're going to put it out there. And then sometimes our program director will actually actively pursue somebody to teach something because she's heard that people are interested in learning about, you know, for example, tanning or some sort of specific knitting. So
tanning hides.
You know, yeah, yeah.
What other kinds of classes? Blacksmithing?
Yeah, so there's a big project going on right now where there's a concerted group of people who are putting efforts and money into opening this blacksmithing shop in the back. And they've had their first class, and they have interest. There is a guy who moved into town who has his own forge, and he also is donating time and materials and expertise to our project. At folk schools across the nation, blacksmithing is a draw. And so not only do we know that, but we also had this gentleman move into town, so it's kind of like, you know, the perfect storm. And we had this back building that is pretty small, but it wasn't being used. And we thought, you know, what could be something that we could dedicate that building to? And we decided that blacksmithing would be a great use of that space. That's pretty exciting. When people walk by, they just look in the window and all the classes are sort of posted up there, and they just look to see what's going on at the folk school, you know? And now it's the kind of thing where people will say, oh, well, that seems like a good job for the folk school, or maybe, you know, the folk school could get involved in this. So that's kind of a neat thing, how the community starts to recognize, you know, a new organization as another entity in the town. And the folk school does a lot during the winter festival, and the winter festival is a big deal in Ely. It's so fun and so great to have a festival in the winter because it gets long up here.
I'm talking with Molly Olson. Molly is a former board member of the Ely Folk School in Ely, Minnesota, and she is telling me about all the great things happening at the Ely Folk School.
You look on February's calendar, it's just loaded with classes during the winter festival. Everything from nature writing to knitting and rosemaling and weaving with birch bark and pine needle basketry, and they're doing a beaver skin hat class, or sewing with beaver hides. I guess they're going to make mitts or hats. The big part that we love about being in Ely is partly it's our location right there, kind of at the top of the hill, right across from the State Theater. And having our canoe project out every summer is such a big draw. And the canoe project is sort of like our heart in a way, because, you know, Ely's the canoe capital, and the people that were there initially, you know, the Native Americans, I mean, that was their mode of transportation. And
when you talk about the canoe project, is this, you build a canoe throughout the summer? Is that what you're talking about? Yeah.
Yeah. So every summer, for the past three summers, we've had a canoe project. And so it's a really neat project.
Wow. And people can just watch it, or can you take part, or?
Yes.
Okay.
So the way that our canoe project works is that you can sign up for the classes that are more in-depth, like going out and harvesting the birch bark. It takes a long time to do that. You have to walk out into the forest, and so it's kind of a half-day thing. And there's also spruce root gathering and different, more involved classes. But then they set up the building station in front of the folk school under a covered, it's kind of like a wigwam, but it's not. It's just sort of a shelter that's made of bent branches, and it's covered. And then, but it's open on the side so everybody can see, and they can stop in and they can just come for the session that night. The steps include sewing the pieces of birch bark together, putting rocks on the bottom and pouring boiling water over the birch bark to bend it, stitching the spruce root to the ribs so that the birch bark stays on, connected to the ribs. I mean, there's just all these different phases. And most of the time, it's basically a couple people working on a canoe for a long time. Mm-hmm. This is really unique because it's many, many hands coming together to make the canoe. And there's, you know, one instructor that kind of stays with the project. And then they also have a core group of people who sign on to be part of the project all summer. And they support that project by coming every week. So they're there to support the project. So we have been really actively partnering with different groups, the Boys Fort and other groups from reservations and youth in the area, to bring that knowledge. Plus, anybody who walks by when we're doing it on Tuesday and Wednesday nights can stop in and either watch or they can take part. And so making it something that's sort of community supported and involves even visitors who are just there for the week. They're taking their Boundary Waters trip and they come out on a Tuesday and stop down. It really is such a neat way to sort of be involved in the whole, what makes Ely unique, which is the Boundary Waters and canoeing. So I think you're right. It does have sort of a really special feel to have a folk school in Ely. And it makes sense. Mm-hmm. It's just a matter of making it really connected to the place. Mm-hmm. And that's what's special about a folk school, I think.
What would you like to see happen in the future? You were on the original board. Well, right. One of the original boards.
Yeah. You know, we have a vision that the folk school will keep its in-town face, but it would also expand and have a campus that was on the water somewhere. That's really a big vision. That's a long-term vision. And we'd also like to see a stronger base for operating. I'd love to see the folk school grow just a little bit more, enough to support another staff person that's full-time. I think that would be awesome. So those are some good goals to work toward, and I think they're really doable. It's going to take time and a lot of people working hard and people supporting the folk school. We rely on donations and people taking classes, so it takes a village for sure. One of the amazing things about the Ely Folk School is the people that you connect with when you're there. I've made some really wonderful friends through my involvement with the Folk School. And it's so fun to go and even just watch a class because, you know, our classes take place a lot of times within the school, and there's also a little storefront there. So if you're in Ely, you can stop in, and if there's a class going on, you can come and just kind of check out what's going on. And you'll just see people making connections, you know, like maybe they knew somebody that was the same, or they, you know, have had a similar experience with the craft that they're doing. And it's just really fun to see people connecting. Mm-hmm. And that's really a big part of our mission, too, to create community. And that's fun to see.
That's Molly Olson. You can check out all the offerings at the Ely Folk School, from ethnic cooking classes to jewelry making, fabric arts, gardening, canoe building, and much more at their website, which is simply elyfolkschool.org. You're listening to Let's Visit on Northern Community Radio. I'm Katie Carter, your host. And just a reminder that Let's Visit is made possible by the Arts and Cultural Heritage Fund and by the people of Minnesota.